Back pain is one of the leading causes of disability worldwide, affecting people of all ages and walks of life. From the way we sit at our desks to the way we lift our children, everyday choices shape the health of our spine. Yet too often, warning signs are ignored until the pain becomes unbearable. Today on Vital Voices, we're breaking down the truth about back health, what causes pain, how to prevent it, and the treatments that truly make a difference. And we're joined by one of the nation's leading experts on spine care.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about a condition that affects nearly everyone at some point in their lives, back pain. To help us unpack this complex but vital issue, we're joined by Dr. Nicholas Burrows, who is a spine and neurosurgeon at Oak Tree Medical Center. Dr. Burrows will walk us through the causes of back pain, how to prevent it, and when it's time to seek medical help. So whether you're someone living with chronic pain or simply hoping to protect your spine for the future, this conversation is for you. Welcome to the show, Dr. Burrows.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been working on getting you on the show for a little while now. We had two of the Oak Tree physiotherapists on in, I think it was July or August, talking about back pain from the physio aspect of it. And we know we wanted to get you on to talk about it from the surgical side of things, get your expertise in on the conversation. Because obviously there's multiple ways that you can treat back pain, and you know, physio is sometimes used as trying to prevent having to have surgery and obviously as recovery from surgery. But then there is that part in the middle that warrants talking about and then talking, like I said, from the surgical perspective. So we are happy to have you on the show and dive into this conversation with you.
Yes, definitely glad to be here. Finally, I know indeed, as you said, trying to get this going for some time, mm-hmm. but you know, busy schedule yep. can make it difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, the approach to back pain is multidisciplinary, mm-hmm. multimodal. And as you mentioned, physio plays a significant part of it, mainly in conservative management when mm-hmm. you don't want to proceed with surgery. Indeed, after recovery from surgery, it's important. But with some focus on prevention here, mm-hmm. you know, physiotherapy, they would have done their part in terms of describing what they would do in terms of helping patients prevent back pain and even during treatment of, you know, conservative treatment. Mm-hmm. So not going to go back into that for right. this podcast.
Okay, fair enough. So, you know, spine and neurosurgery, just to me as someone who, I always tell people all the time, I play a doctor on TV. That's the joke that I give, right? Because I the amount of time and energy and effort that I imagine it goes into doing any sort of medicine, but then when you go into something that's as delicate as surgery on the spine and on the brain, it's just like the amount of effort, work, time, energy put into it. You know, could you share a little bit about your journey into, you know, that space, and why did you choose to specialize and subspecialize in, you know, spine and neurosurgery?
Okay, well, as you said, anyone who embarks on a career in medicine have to be prepared for long years, mm-hmm. many years, all right? Especially if you want to become proficient. Yes. And I had a dream of becoming a medical doctor, maybe from about the age of 10. My father would say he takes the credit for putting the idea into my head. not going to really debate that. But at some point during high school, when I was a part of Junior Achievers, this is back in Jamaica, mm-hmm. Someone called to interview me for a newspaper, mm-hmm. right? It's an interesting story. Not many people, this is the first time I guess shared it publicly.
Awesome.
And so during this interview, in preparation for it, you know, I'd be going through, okay, who's my role models, et cetera, et cetera. So I named a particular neurosurgeon. And I didn't say that I wanted to become a neurosurgeon. I said I wanted to become a doctor and maybe do something in surgery.
Right.
Long story short, when the paper comes out, it says Nicholas Burrows tells of his dream of becoming a neurosurgeon. And so that was my first experience many years ago with what is called probably fake news. But
yeah.
it stuck with me. I said, wow, I wonder if God's showing me something here.
Mm.
And so I was in high school. So I said, you know what? If this is my destiny, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do what was required in terms of getting into med school, And after med school, internship, essentially, still wasn't really fully decided if I wanted to do surgery or not. But nothing else in medicine, no other specialties interested me as surgery. Fast forward, came to the Bahamas as a SHO junior doctor. And when the opportunity came to join a specialty program, you know, neurosurgery, it was the, you know, the opportunity was presented to itself. So I just went through and said, hey, maybe this is how the dream is going to come to pass. And always had a liking for neurosurgery from that time. Had to go back to Jamaica for training for that after about 3 years here. And from Jamaica, as part of your training, you go to Australia, got exposed to certain technologies there. Was very, very busy in Australia. I was at Melbourne at the time. And coming back, finishing residency, I'm now a neurosurgeon. I'm now in practice, practicing neurosurgery. And in the office, more than 50% of my patients are patients with back complaints, right? Or complaints regarding neck pain. And you do get exposure during your residency, but I realized that, you know what, to manage this significant population of patients, further studies is required. So I went back to Australia for a fellowship. This was in Sydney at the Macquarie University Hospital and got exposed to complex spine surgery and came back more proficient in terms of managing these complaints, all right? Because a lot of persons accept that, you know, back pain, I just have to live with it, it's a part of old age, and that's one of the myths. But, well, I guess one could say it is a part of old age in a sense, right, degenerative process, but you don't necessarily have to just accept it. There can be solutions, right? And that, in a nutshell, was my long journey into neurosurgery and spine surgery.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm always happy when someone said, I've not shared this story anywhere before. I love that. But that's a pretty, it's a pretty cool thing, because I mean, and that is what media does, right? You do something and what's the most attention grabbing headline? And so they ran with Dr. You know, well, Nicholas Burrows wants to be has his dream of being a neurosurgeon. But now here you are all these years later and you're a practicing spine and neurosurgeon. It's an amazing thing. But you did mention that a part of what led you back to do the fellowship was just the level of, I guess, recurring people coming into your office with back and neck related issues. So why do you think that back pain is such a common issue globally? Because it's not just here. It's not just, you know, in the Caribbean. It's worldwide. We see it all the time, that people at varying age levels and for different reasons. So why do you think that is? Why is it such a common issue?
All right. So I tend to tell patients, it seems very simplistic, but everybody has a spine, right? And in the same way, people, as you grow and you age, you develop gray hair, you develop wrinkles. You know, the degenerative process of the spine is like wrinkling to the spine. And with that, because they're so, it's a composite of, you know, joints, ligaments, muscles, neural tissue, everything in a compact space. There are so many things as degeneration can occur to the spine, can impact on pain or cause pain, right? And so if you have, everybody have to, each year your age, right, you will have persons at some point in their life developing back pain. Could be short-lived, majority of cases it's short-lived and can resolve spontaneously or with, you know, physio or exercise or just over-the-counter painkillers. But that is the main reason why it's just a global problem, right? This is a product of just man aging, lifestyle, work activity. Sometimes the type of exercises you do, sometimes it just comes to just sedentary lifestyle. You know, we're not fit enough. A lot of truncal obesity that puts pressure on the spine and poor core strength. And hence, it's a prevalent problem. It's probably one of the leading causes of presentations to our urgent care or ER, you know, or to a doctor's office.
Yeah, I mean, back pain. Like I've had, you know, a spasm here or there in my lifetime. Like my wife has had a couple of falls that's led her to having some issues off and on. And it can really like holds you up. It freezes you in your tracks if you run into, especially if it's a pretty bad spasm or pretty bad set of pain. Even if it's short lived, you just feel like you just can't function. Depending on, you know, how bad it is. So And like you said, the simple answer is we all have a spine. And then I guess thinking about how you said it, there's so many different parts of it. So there's so many different places for you to have generation. It's degeneration is like all of these different elements to it. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Early detection to advanced treatment options. Our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
But I think one of the things that's helpful for people is, how do you differentiate between what we would call a normal ache and pain versus something that might be more of a chronic condition or something that you should be really concerned about?
All right. So essentially, back pain can be a product of lifestyle, right? Posture of the spine, etc. Increased activity, some form of exercise, especially if you didn't normally do a particular type of exercise. So if you find that you have done something and you find that you have an ache or a pain the next day or a day after, it could just be related to that activity. And just like with any form of exercise and strain on the muscle over time, you know, a brief period of time, days to maybe at most 2 to 3 weeks, it should resolve with rest, okay? Now, when you become concerned is back pain, especially in the age groups below 20 when they don't normally have back pain, and back pain over the age of 50, right? So that's just an age bracket where there's severe pain. You may want to pay more close attention that something significant could have occurred, especially if you don't normally do activity that produces pain. Next thing, just general stuff. You could have infection. If you have a fever and back pain, that has to be evaluated because you could have an infection which has spread to the spine, especially if there's a urinary tract infection, all right? Other things, persons who have unexplained weight loss could signify that there is a, you know, unknown malignancy, cancer, which has spread to the spine. In the elderly age group, osteoporotic fractures. This is fractures to the soft bones of the spine from trivial activity, right? Or just a simple fall. Anytime you have had some form of trauma, you have back pain afterwards, that is a potential red flag and needs to be evaluated and not just, okay, you know, with some rest, it might resolve. You could have a fracture and you don't realize it. Other things would be, if you develop numbness, weakness, problems passing the urine, feces, especially numbness around the buttock area, or around your private parts, that can be very, very significant. You know, you need to be evaluated urgently, all right? Those red flags, such as numbness, weakness, etc., persons tend to respond very quickly,
right,
in general.
Because it's that unusual.
Yeah, it's very unusual. But the other things, such as like a malignancy that can take a longer time to present, especially in the older age group, because they just think that it's just ache and pain from old age, arthritis to the back, all right? Persons who might have a fever, a diabetic, in whom an infection is not as readily noticed. And those who are on medications and they're relatively immunosuppressed or have some other immunosuppressed pathology, those persons, when they develop back pain, may not realize that, you know, there could be a more sinister thing happening. So they present late. And after significant destruction has occurred to the bone and now a threat to the neural elements, all right? So those are the ones where it can typically have a lot of problem with. And when they present late, neurological deficits have come into play, and to correct that can be a challenge in some instances.
Yeah. You know, it's enlightening, because I've never heard anybody talk about, like, you're talking about the numbness in like the private areas and things, that I've never heard that before. So it's interesting to hear, you know, I guess it makes sense, because our body is interconnected and everything kind of has the potential to impact other areas. And so it makes sense that if you have something, that if you have these things in play together, it could be a much more potentially problematic issue going on than just a simple back pain. So I think that's good for people to hear that, because I'm not sure how common, you know, it is that the people know that. But I think it also reminds me, you know, we on this show are strong proponents of primary care and getting your annual visits. And, you know, I imagine when people are getting those, you're able to potentially catch that more quickly than if you're only going to the physician when something is wrong, right? Mm. And so I think that's helpful too, because now if you think about, well, if you're having this and this and this together, that's something that you can mention to your primary care physician, especially if it's you're going to the same one every year. They can start to pick up on little trends and be able to catch things more quickly. And so, you know, we always take the opportunity to promote primary care in instances like that, because it'll help.
Yeah, especially there's a particular condition called spinal stenosis, right? So somebody could have back pain, and then would notice that as they walk, they might get numbness to the legs, but then with rest, you know, it relaxes. Now, they can have some vascular issues with the legs that cause that, right? But certain positions that they would sit down in might relieve the pain, you know, riding a bicycle or something might relieve that type of numbness, but not realize that, hey, something more sinister is occurring, because as you age, the canal can get smaller and compress the nerves. But you just get distracted, oh, just the back pain, and not realize you have numbness. So yes, indeed, mentioning something like that on this program, sometimes the foot kind of feel wobbly or gets dead, that can alert the primary care physician that, you know what, his back pain has now new symptoms, and therefore this thing could be lumbar spinal stenosis. I need to investigate further or refer to a spine surgeon.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Early detection to advanced treatment options. Our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oaktree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, when we talked about this with the physio people, posture is a big part of this. But overall daily habits, right? Like, how much of a role does that play? Because I think people will say, well, you know, if you get in a car accident, it's obvious. If you have a particularly hard slip and fall, okay, the back pain that comes along with that might be obvious. But what are some of the things like posture and other, you know, more common everyday things that contribute to, you know, issues with the back?
Well, poor posture, simply put, slouching. You know, many of us slouch. It sometimes can be a challenge to correct. But the spine, the lower back, has a natural curve to it. And when you slouch, you reduce that curve, and therefore there's an abnormality in the natural biomechanics which should exist, and therefore it could result in more strain on ligaments, disc, etc., and cause back pain. Right? So avoiding slouching, you know, when you're standing, stand erect, sitting on a chair, sit with maybe something with a lumbar support that can basically support that curvature of your back. Sitting with your knees and your hips at the same level, feet flat on the ground. If you're in the workplace, there are ergonomic chairs, right, and decks. Don't try not to sit down for long periods of time, usually greater than 30 minutes. Try to get up, change your posture. Because it's essentially back pain, just everyday wear on the spine, comes from repeated activity. Comes from activities where there's a lot of strain to the back for a prolonged period of time. So if you can mitigate this, you can reduce its occurrence. All right. So, and of course, keeping your core strong, right? And truncal obesity is a big issue. And if you can do things in terms of reducing your weight, having a strong core, that would also help in preventing back pain.
Okay. You know, when it comes to the point where, you know, you either feel like the pain has been going on too long, or like some of the things you've mentioned that might be additional symptoms that people may not think connects to their back, but as you've mentioned, may be tied in with the back pain, you know, at what point in that process should people consider, hey, I might need to go and see a specialist about what's going on?
I would say pain that is not being relieved with rest or regular home remedies. Some people may use a warm pack on the back. Some persons may just buy something over the counter, one of those anti-inflammatories over the counter. So if you've been using anti-inflammatory for 2 weeks and your pain is not being relieved, that should be concerning. Have that checked out. Sometimes in literature, they will say about 4 to 6 weeks of regular routine over-the-counter medications, or you try not to rest more than a few days. Movement actually is more helpful than just bed rest, so to speak. But if you find that that period of time has passed and your pain hasn't gotten better, you should have that checked out. Especially rest pain at night, that should be checked out. And if there's any onset of unexplained weight loss, that should be checked out.
Listen, the unexplained weight loss, I can't tell you how much times I've heard that in the last few months of doing the show, because it seems to be connected potentially to so many different things. And it's funny because people, we can be so self-conscious sometimes. You look at the weight loss and you're like, oh, I'm losing weight. Now, you know, in your mind, you're not doing anything different. You're not changing any eating habits. You're not exercising. You're not doing anything different, but you're losing weight. That should be a red flag. And we've heard that from the endocrinologists. We've heard that from you. We've heard that from other like primary care physicians. Everybody speaks to that as being a particular concern. And so, you know, that's just something to stick a pin where don't look at it as like, oh, I'm losing this weight and I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, consider that there might be something going on that you should go and get checked out, because it seems like that particular issue is always connected to some particularly concerning potential health issues that may be going on that you're not considering just because you're looking at the number on the scale, even though, again, you've not done anything to really change habits. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of people get concerned about, especially when they think about something like the back pain, it's in general people engaging with healthcare, but it's that diagnostic process, right? So, you know, can you explain some of the diagnostic tools or methods, tests you use to help identify what may be going on, especially if there's an underlying spine issue, something that's not outright, like, I guess, plain and clear to the naked eye?
Okay, so usually an easy first-line test that a primary care physician can employ is a simple X-ray. If they have had a history of trauma, if the person is an elderly person, say, you know, I'm having back pain for the last 2 weeks and I don't normally suffer from back pain, an X-ray can help rule out an osteoporotic fracture, all right? Can show degenerative processes to the spine to explain the pain, maybe arthritis, etc. So it can be a useful tool to at least screen out significant bony abnormalities, which could be serious and causing the back pain. Sometimes certain changes in the bone can indicate a malignancy, and therefore you'll know, okay, I need to do a more detailed investigation. So that will step up to what is called a CT scan, which can show more details to the bone. All right, and because it involves a little bit more radiation, more costly, it's best not to start with that first, right? You do a simple X-ray. So if you step to the CT scan, you can see the bones more clearly. You can even get some idea if there's some nerve root compression that might be occurring. If the patient mentioned, I have, you know, pain going down the leg, you know, like a sciatica, you can get an idea that there might be some nerve root impingement. If that's suggested on your CT, or some other issue involving soft tissue, therefore, you go to the MRI. MRI shows this tissue, ligaments, muscles, nerves, etc., much more detail than a CT, and this can help hone down on a diagnosis. Now, sometimes after all of that, because you can have so many pain generators close by that give the same type of pain distribution or pain character, you can't tell if it's what is called a facet joint. These are some joints at the back of the spine or the ligaments attached to it. You can't tell whether or not it's the disc, because if everything is degenerative, which one, and it's many levels,
you have to figure out which one.
And sometimes you don't come to a conclusion, right? And that's where sometimes you have to go to a nerve conduction studies. In some cases, it can be helpful. But for the most part, if something is not immediately surgical, like a significant compression to explain the pain or a malignancy or a fracture, etc., you can now confidently employ your conservative measures.
Right.
And I wouldn't persist with that for too long before possibly referring to a specialist like myself. Because the thing is, we are persons in my era can differentiate which one of these degenerative levels might be the most likely cause, and therefore can have a more directed therapy, at least to control the pain, maybe what is called a steroid injection to a specific level of the spine, all right, or surgery. So in terms of differentiating those things, that's where we'd really come in. And definitely, once it reaches a point where a primary care specialist has to now do an MRI, I think when you recognize that you are there, you should just send the patient on to somebody who can properly interpret it,
right,
apply the context and determine whether or not this patient needs some form of more invasive intervention.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Early detection to advanced treatment options. Our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
I think as much as you can, because I know when people get into the space of considering things like CTs and I guess probably more so the MRIs, you know, can you talk people off of the ledge a little bit in terms of the fear that sometimes is associated with that? So if someone's going through the process and they're at a point now, it's like whether it's a primary care physician or a specialist that they're seeing, they're saying, you know, I think you should get an MRI. Can you kind of give people a sense of peace about that process? There were a lot of people that I've heard who've had, for different reasons, recommended to do MRIs. There's a lot of fear surrounding that particular modality because of the enclosed nature, things like that. Anything you can do to assuage those fears and say, like, you know, speak to people who may have that concern?
Okay, well, to the one who is claustrophobic, sometimes the only thing you could say to allay those fears is there's a particular MRI called an open MRI, more spacious, which can accommodate persons who are claustrophobic. If the MRI is definitely deemed necessary, then unfortunately might need a little sedative, right? That could help them tolerate the procedure. In most cases, a routine lumbar MRI might take 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes. So it's not like they're going to be in there for a protracted period of time, all right? It doesn't involve radiation. So you try to, I guess, emphasize those positives about it. And most importantly, it helps to rule out more, you know, sinister pathologies.
Right. You're getting to the root cause of whatever's
going
on.
Getting to the root cause. So that might help them that, look, you can bear it. This is just for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But definitely if you feel like you're going into a coffin, then an open MRI might be more suitable.
Because from what I know, you're supposed to stay still in MRI as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like for me, I would need a sedative because I fidget, right? So it's like, it wouldn't be the fear. It would be, I don't know if I could keep still
for that period of time.
You know, but I do get it. Like I said, I've heard it from so many different people, and I know that's the concern a lot of times that people come up with. It's like, I don't know if I could go through the MRI. But like you said, it helps you as the physician to rule out and get to the actual cause of what's going on, which is critically important because then you know how to treat. Right. If you don't know specifically what's going on, or at least being able to pinpoint it to some degree, then you're kind of shooting in the dark a little bit with treatment options.
Exactly.
You don't know the exact nature of what you're treating.
And unfortunately, some people have gone down that route and basically for years being managed, unfortunately, sometimes by a primary care physician being managed without more detailed studies. Mm-hmm. And then they had a easily correctable condition, but if you leave it for a longer period of time, then it can become more difficult to correct, right?
So you get more complicated.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I think, again, it's the same thing like with the fear of MRIs. I think people have a generalized fear of getting back surgery. You know, we talked about this a little bit with the physio people, but even from your perspective, you know, what are some of the non-surgical options that exist for people, especially if it's not exactly necessary to do surgery just yet? What are some of the things that exist in the non-surgical space that can help someone alleviate back pain where the surgical part isn't necessary just yet?
All right. Well, everything really comes down to what the diagnosis is. So if the diagnosis is, you know, mechanical back pain, otherwise known as musculoskeletal back pain, like a muscle strain, you know, some facet joint arthritis, You could try physiotherapy, over-the-counter painkillers, or prescription medications if over-the-counter medications won't work in controlling the pain. You tend not to want to have people on medications for analgesic medications for too long without knowing exactly what the diagnosis is, all right? Because it can just mask the pain.
Right.
But if that isn't controlling the pain and you're sure that this is just something musculoskeletal or maybe what you call a prolapsed disc, which doesn't require surgery, there isn't any weakness or significant numbness, etc., you might choose something called a steroid injection. All right, and a steroid injection can go directly to the source of the pathology.
The pinpointed area.
The pinpointed area. The steroid is an anti-inflammatory, settle inflammation around the nerve, around that area, and that might improve the pain. Unfortunately, sometimes steroid injections might not last in terms of their efficacy past 3 months. In some cases, it can, you know, you can repeat them, you know, up to 3 a year. But over time, the efficacy goes down and you might need to have more invasive measures in terms of controlling the problem. You have some other methods, what you call TENS, transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation.
Very familiar.
You know, physio would probably use that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of modalities in terms of non-surgical would fall within that realm, right. You know, steroid injections, physio. Unfortunately, you know, we haven't really advanced a lot in terms of medicine. There might be certain types of fixes people would propose, but there's not a lot of evidence to back it outside of those things.
Understood. And just for clarity, analgesics, that's like muscle relaxants?
Can include muscle relaxants.
Okay. Because I know that I imagine part of the issue with muscle relaxants is they make you sleepy as well. So it's like you don't want to be non-functional because you're trying to manage the back pain, especially over long periods of time.
So you can use it short term, you know, a few days, and that might be enough for you to get over that period. The body begins to heal and you can get up and moving again. Now, interestingly, some people get, you know, some relief from spinal manipulation, but I wouldn't advise that if there is associated symptoms of, nerve root compression, you know, nerve pain. If the MRI shows some prolapse disc, because with spinal manipulation, you could get risky. Yeah, it could push out some discs and then have significant neurological deficits. And I've, you know, unfortunately had some cases like that after spinal manipulation. So definitely it has to be something that is done by that practitioner who really knows what the limit is in terms of its utility. But there are patients who have had some amount of improvement with, you know, somebody manipulating the spine, and physio didn't make a difference, painkillers didn't make a difference, but when they went to a chiropractor, they did their thing and it worked.
You know, I guess similar to the question about the MRIs, again, undergoing back surgery can be a fearful proposition for people. You know, in cases where surgery is deemed to be a necessity for treatment, how do you, as a surgeon in the space, reassure your patients who may be fearful of having surgery?
So there's no easy way to put it. You know, I don't like to trivialize what back surgery is, you know, but for the most part, there's a lot of advancement that has occurred over the decades, right? Minimally invasive back surgery, which really results in a smaller incision, less tissue disruption, and the patient can be up and about, you know, in short order. In many centers, they are doing it as outpatient surgery, or at least they go home the next day. There are different factors which drive that, but it's well documented in terms of the ability to do it successfully in selected patients. There's technologies which help the precision of spine surgery. You know, robotics, obviously this is in centers which can afford that type of technology. Endoscopic spine surgery, etc. So these things essentially can reassure a patient that, look, you know, back surgery isn't necessarily something that means that once you have it, you can't function afterwards. If the problem is caught in a reasonable period of time and, you know, the right selection criteria is made for surgery, because I think surgery on the spine has gotten a bad rap because of possibly poor patient selection right? Patients who, you know, you didn't recognize that, look, surgery in this person might not make a difference. There may be psychosocial things present, you know, anxiety, depression, these things, you know, can limit the, you know, results of your surgery. You could do the perfect operation, but these chronic, you know, chronic stressors or anxiety can, you know, cause central sensitization, make you more sensitive to pain. All right. So essentially, right patient selection for the surgery can result in excellent outcomes.
Right.
Right.
Right. So like you said, sometimes it's determining just
with minimum downtime, right? Because most people think that, oh, I'm going to be in hospital for a protracted period of time.
And then I guess, you know, this is a good segue into, I guess, a quick little conversation about myths and misconceptions, because I know you can give me some and kind of debunk them. But I know one of the ones that I've heard people say is, well, you know, once you have back surgery once, you know, you're going to have it again. So I know that's one of the myths that's out there, one of the misconceptions that people have. And you can correct me if that's not a myth. But, you know, what are some of the myths and misconceptions that people may have about back pain and back surgery, you know, give you an opportunity to debunk them and provide some clarity from, you know, an expert position?
All right. One of the myths is, you know, prolonged bed rest will make a difference. So some persons would say, yes, I need, you know, time off from work to rest. Yes, time off is important, but it's really time off from the activity which is helping to contribute to the back pain. But to go home and lay down in bed for a protracted period of time, that can actually make it worse, right? So you want to try and get up and moving and bear pain where you can, because that would help, right? So that's one myth. So persons may just cease from all activity.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, for a time, the pain might get better. But with disuse of muscles, that creates a problem in terms of your spine and support. And therefore, the cycle continues for the back pain.
It's just so like anything else, right? If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. So that is one myth. That, as you said, surgery, once you have surgery on the back, that's it. Persons are different. So when you hear one person's story, doesn't mean that will be your story. You don't know what their problem was when they had back surgery. You don't know, possibly, you know, how long it took for the diagnosis to be made. Probably was a more extensive operation. Because really, people go by what they observe. And they may say, oh, Miss Jane over there had surgery and she was just not the same afterwards. So you know, having back pain, you're told you need surgery. You think you're going to go the way of Miss Jane. But Miss Jane's problem might not have been your problem, all right? So in general, especially surgeries because of disc prolapse and nerve root impingement, majority of those patients do well, right? And again, it comes down to patient selection, obviously. So that is one thing to clear up in terms of myths, that look, your outcome isn't necessarily going to be the same as another person who has had surgery. And I guess another, related to what we were discussing in terms of surgery, not all back surgery is major, you know. Some can just be a simple, what we call a microdiscectomy, all right? And that can be like an outpatient or a quick turnaround time for the patient, as opposed to possibly a fusion operation where multiple levels of the spine is fused, you know, that is more significant. So not all surgery is the same. Essentially, that is it. Those are the main risks, maybe main myths, rather. Another thing could be, you know, that certain little remedies you can use can help make the pain better. Not a lot of evidence exists for certain technologies, so you have to just be mindful of those. And it's just best to, you know, get all of that sorted out with your primary practitioner or spine surgeon.
You know, like I said, we've had, you know, issues here once or twice. I know we believe in Sombro very, very strongly in our house. It's one of the topical treatments like Bengay and stuff like that. But, you know, we ain't old, so we use Sombro instead of Bengay. That was our excuse.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like that do tend to help, especially if it's not a chronic issue. But, yeah, I think very good job on kind of getting at some of the core myths that people think about, because I think if you can demystify and kind of correct some of the misconceptions, then you might find more people who are in need of treatment can actually find their way through the process and get the treatment that they need. you know, starting from diagnosis straight through the treatment process.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Early detection to advanced treatment options. Our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 24232-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, especially when you broke down kind of where the concerns would be based on the age ranges, but how does age impact spine health? And if you're a younger person, like what would you say to focus on to strengthen or, you know, keep the spine healthy for as long as possible, knowing that there is a degree of natural degeneration that comes with age?
All right. So with a younger person, keep active, keep fit. Avoid weight gain, because it's harder to lose weight as you get older, right? So the fitter you are entering into the older years, the better. Core strengthening exercises. So play sports, you know. Obviously, you have to have some amount of care, because some sports can actually predispose you to injury, right? Avoid lifting that is excessive that you can really manage, right? Because that can cause strain to the back. In terms of older persons, by the time you reach that stage, you really want to do low impact aerobics, things like swimming, walking. Just keep yourself, you know, healthy, right? And avoid the excess, going back to weight gain, and nutrition, which can support spine health. There's a, you know, Mediterranean diet. There's that is, like, they call it the anti-inflammatory diet. Things rich in omega-3s, calcium, magnesium. These things can support spine health and help limit the onset of back pain in the older age group. So younger persons, stay active as much as possible without excessive strain. Older person, stay active but with less rigorous activity, right? And that should be good from a general lifestyle aspect. Being sedentary is bad, whichever age group it is.
Yeah, that's one of the big ones to avoid. You know, I think one of the things that I thought about as I was preparing for this is, you know, we have a lot of, there's a heavy push in athletics in our country. Obviously, we have people like Jazz Chisholm and Vijay Edgecombe and Buddy Hield that have, you know, risen to international play, you know, in major leagues in the U.S. and things like that. So, you know, from that perspective, given people who are like looking to kind of pursue athletics in that way, or people who have physically demanding jobs, you know, people working construction and things like that, you know, what unique concerns do you see in that space that you feel like, you know, you can speak to in terms of managing in those types of areas as well?
Well, What I would say to the athlete, usually they have a lot of professional guidance, especially those who have tremendous potential. So there are some persons who are actually working with physiotherapists from an early age, from, you know, in high school, once they identify that this person has talent. Physical therapists can really guide them in terms of what type of exercises can keep the core strong and what kind of activities can weaken the spine and put the spine at risk. So for the athlete, that will be probably what's most important, because they're going to be engaging in challenging activities.
Yes.
Right? The average person, if they do it, you know, they would have an injury instantly.
Yeah.
So essentially, persons who actually have expertise in physical therapy or sports medicine can really guide these people as to what types of motion and repetitive movement to avoid and what type of things to strengthen the core, which can help protect the spine. Now, for people who, you know, are in construction, engaging in heavy lifting, really that will come down to how you lift, trying to avoid lifting things which really and truly is excessive. Get help. You know, lift with your legs, as I say, and not your back. Avoid activity that have excessive repetitive motion to the spine. So repeated bending, things that have using equipment which will transfer a lot of vibrational energy to the spine. These things will set you up at some point for a back injury, right? Now, unfortunately, there are certain occupations that just come with those hazards, and persons have to just know their body, know their limits, and not try to push past that limit.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted to circle back before we wrap up to, you know, where technology fits in this space. Obviously, you talked about things like minimally invasive surgeries. You know, how is technology and advancements in you know, back maintenance, care, surgery, how are they shaping the future of back pain treatment and prevention?
Well, what I would say is, so as it pertains to surgery, there are certain things you use during your operation, especially if you're doing like a fusion operation, biologics, things to help with fusion. So there are certain advancement to ensure that you could get good fusion when you operate, because, you know, if your surgery to fuse a spine fails, then you're back to square one or even worse. So some advancement in what they call biologics have occurred, so you could almost get good fusion after any fusion operation once done, you know, in the reasonable approach. You have technologies which allow for little as minimal tissue disruption as possible. Technology, we mentioned it earlier, that cause increased precision to the spine. Robotics, image guidance, surgery. And of course, with the advent of AI, it's been, you know, implemented to make diagnosis more accurate, speedy and accurate, and also give you some prediction as to the outcome for the patient and which treatment algorithm to utilize. So, you know, they're developing tools that right there, you could plug in the relevant data and it could tell you where this patient is going to go in terms of whether your treatment that you're employing here is going to be successful or not, based on the parameters you have implemented. So in some aspects, it's exciting. However, sometimes these advancements come with a cost. So, you know, we'll see if basically the cost will come down to a point where it can be readily available to, you know, places like, you know, the Bahamas and other Caribbean countries. A lot of these things is more readily accessible in the first world. And thus far, you don't necessarily see a tremendous increase in successful outcome because of their implementation. All right. So you still need to have the evidence to back it before you say, okay, what we're doing routinely is insufficient for a patient. All right. So persons can have the impression that, okay, if I have this problem, I need to head to the States. Doesn't necessarily mean that it will result in a good outcome.
Right. Understood. As we wrap up, what would you say is the single most important piece of advice that you would give our listeners for protecting their back health long term?
Repeat, sorry.
What would be the single most important piece of advice for our listeners for protecting their back health long term?
Stay active, try and maintain an ideal weight, good diet, and that I think would be the most, stay away from smoking. Most important advice I could give to persons, be able to recognize that even when you do all of those things, you might, you know, develop an ache or two. Know when to recognize that you need to seek medical attention, which, you know, just to reiterate, you know, pain that is not being relieved with the requisite rest and regular, you know, over-the-counter medications or home remedies. And those red flags like pain going down the legs, numbness, weakness, fevers, unexplained weight loss. That would be the take-home message. Know when to seek attention and the basic things that we can do in terms of lifestyle modification to help prevent the back pain, which most commonly is because of, you know, our lifestyle right. choices.
Fair enough. So one final question, how can people get in contact with you if they feel like they are struggling with back pain and they need to see a specialist? How do they reach you at Oaktree?
Okay, so Oaktree, you know, have a website. You can log on to oaktreemedicalcenter.com and all the contact numbers, information is there. And that will be the main way. And you can call the main office or the specialty clinic, right? That would be the easiest way.
Awesome. So thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule. This has been a great conversation. We are excited to share this with our audience. I'm sure it's going to be helpful. And I think, you know, there's a lot of information here for people where they can take it away and start to implement it and figure out how to navigate if they are dealing with back pains. So I want to thank you for, again, taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Yes, and just in case persons might not have the time to log on, mm-hmm. the Oaktree Specialty Clinic number is 802-9951.
Awesome. All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So a huge thank you again to Dr. Nicholas Burrows for joining us today and sharing his expertise on back health. Remember, taking care of your spine isn't just about avoiding pain. It's about protecting your overall quality of life. Small, consistent choices in posture, movement, and lifestyle can make all the difference in keeping your back strong and healthy for years to come. If you're struggling with back pain, know that you don't have to live in silence. Help is available, and the right guidance can set you on the path to recovery and resilience. So until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oaktree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
Vital Voices.